Today we're going to be answering some of the questions that Mr. Miles asked us, and we're going to also be talking about some articles that we have read. It's me, Lala Dumbia, Haji Koita, and Michael. So we're going to let Haji tell you about some of the things he found out.
On page 45 of How to Lie with Statistics, Daryl Huff is discussing what does it really mean to be normal. In the quote, he says, "Hardly anybody is exactly normal in any way, just as 100 tossed pennies will be rarely come up exactly 50 heads and 50 tails." So when I heard this analogy and understanding the quote, trying to dissect it, I thought about what does it mean to be normal? Like, is normal talking about, like, I'm just a normal person? Like, I don't have superpowers, obviously. But normal is talking about average. What is the average time something happens? For example, that I brought up while reading. If I were to have a son and my son had, just starting to crawl, just I want to say 11 months. My son was crawling at 11 months. And that would be the norm, I'm assuming. I'm just going to put it as value X. My son started crawling at X value of months. And if he would have crawled earlier or later, these numbers would have been changed. This wouldn't be known as normal. This would have been advanced or not advanced. So the whole gist of the question, what does he mean by hardly anybody is exactly normal? Meaning that nothing is always going to be an average. Nothing is always going to be 50-50. Everything is always going to be changed. This is the world. This is not perfect. God didn't make the world perfect. So everything is not going to be theoretically correct.
So for question number 4, the question was, what is the advantage of a stratified random sample and what difficulties does it pose, according to the chapter? So I'm assuming you're talking about chapter 3. One good example in this chapter is on page 39. It's talking about the penny toss. The penny landed on heads 8 out of 10 times, and they only did that once, so they claim that scientists prove that 80% of the time a penny will fall on heads. As we know, that's not true, but they didn't test it enough to make a valid claim. They just said it because it happened. So that's a good example of a stratified random sample. I think the advantages of a stratified random sample only benefit the company selling or claiming whatever they're claiming. So you could technically, you're telling the truth when you say that a penny will land on heads 80% of the time, but you don't really, it's not actually true. We know pennies aren't, you know, 80% heads, 20% tails. So, yeah, they could technically lie and get away with it if they wanted to. And that's where the difficulties of this start coming up, because it's sort of like a gray area. You sort of have, like, no way to, whatever.
So for chapter 5, I noticed that, you know, throughout this chapter, they're talking about misleading graphs, so... the main thing they showed in this one, which I think the best example is on pages 62 and 63, is how they can stretch out graphs to make it seem like there has been more, you know, like sales or growth or whatever. So you could say an increase of 2% has, you know, means like it's skyrocketed up, or you could say an increase in 2% means no growth or whatever, which it pretty much does. There's actually a good example that I found on the internet of Fox News using the same exact way of misleading people. They're talking about I don't know when this is from, but they're talking about if Bush tax cuts expire. They said that, so now, as in whenever that was, there is a 35% tax rate. That's the top tax rate. But if it were to expire, it would be a 39.6% top tax rate. So, and the way they have it is a difference of, you know, 4%. It seems huge when it's really not even that big of a difference. That's why, you know, you should never trust Fox News. So, yeah, that's, I mean, Chapter 5 goes into, it pretty much just keeps repeating that same exact thing. It keeps talking about, like, the way we stretch grass to make it seem like, to make it support what we want to, what we want people to think. Yeah, so. For Chapter 6, I found it to be pretty similar to Chapter 5. They're still talking about grass, but in this instance, they're talking about, like, picture grass. So, pretty much, again, they're saying, they're exaggerating the graphs. So, on page 69, they have the two bags of money compared to, like, America's wage to foreigners' wages. And America's bag of money is considerably bigger than a foreigner's bag of money. This, again, is, like, you know, exaggerating claims that people say. Other examples. So, yeah, even on page 71, it's pretty much the same thing. That's one thing I noticed with this about this book. He pretty much just keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. And it's, you know, every chapter is just giving you, like, one point, and you kind of get it after, like, the first or second page. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about Chapter 5. In Chapter 5, they, like, showed us graphs and, like, talked about graphs on, like, how, like, when you have the graph squished up, when the X values and the Y values are, like, very big numbers to the point that you, when you spread it out, you see a different type of graph. Like, the first graph on 61, it's just a linear line going straight through. But when you zoom in and you do, like, 0.20, 0.20.2, 0.20.4, 20.6, 20.8 on page 63, you see that it's not actually a linear line. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know, like, curving up, then going straight to a linear line, which people don't understand. Like, your X value and your Y value can really tell, make a graph different or not. And most people, like, don't know that that's one way to lie with statistics, which I agree with. Because when we did classwork, every single time when you see, like, a graph, and we ask Mr. Miles, oh, which value do you want us to make it, a big value or a small value? He says, make it to something that you think that'll be easy to read. And we could be wrong when we describe graphs, and we could be right when we describe graphs. That really shows me that. Something else that was interesting to me in Chapter 5 was, again, the government pay up roll with the numbers being spread out more. I feel like this really shows everybody that statistics does make you think of which value you should really be showing. Like, if you wanted to show more specific value, you should do larger, smaller numbers when you're doing your X values. But if you want them to be just all in one graph and make it all look like kind of linear, you should make your graph with bigger numbers, like 10, 20, 30, and then on the government payment roll, it was like 19 point, I'm not even sure if that's 19, that's like 19 million, then it was like 20 million. Yeah, that showed me something like really different. Something else was chapter 6 was talking about like the graphs. Well, chapter 5 was talking about the graphs, but chapter 6 was talking about like how different are the values of like payment was shown. In my opinion, that shows you that there's a lot of things going on, because they say, let me find a quote. Two times two times two is 8. If anyone's money bag holds $30, the other half, 8 times the value, must not hold 60, but 240. This is on page 70. This showed me that, like, a lot of people like to double their value or like to have more than what they have. Like, the, when they was talking about, one person having $30 per pay, money bag, and then the other person have a double, which one, would it be fair? And, like, to me, the pictures, like, explain, the pictures, like, help me, like, see it out, because, like, even though I know, like, $60 more, sometimes I'd be thinking, like, one person, if one person gets paid more, they still might not have as much as the second person. Because, let's say, for instance, if you're working and you get a certain amount of hours, and then the second person is working and they get a certain amount of hours, the person who has $30, if they get more hours than you, they might have the same amount as the other person. So that's the one thing I was thinking about when I was reading this chapter, and I wanted to share with everyone. And also, like, I also wanted to talk about what the norm is. That came up to me a couple of times, because they say normal or the average. Like, this whole entire book showed me that when they say average or norm, it changes all the time. Like, the average of females and males in our class, every math class, is going to be different. Like, let's say one day we're comparing it to an all-girls school to compare to our school. That's, like, a very big difference. There's no guys in that school, and there's a mix of guys and girls in that select. So the norm can change any moment, and that's one way that people don't notice that it can. So I wanted to point that out. The normal can never be normal. It's depending on, like, the type of studies that people do, the type of, you know, information, where they get it from. Let's say, I remember there was a part in the book about cigarettes, and they said something about smokers smoke more, and something about smoking. I can't really remember right now, but find the page, I'll let you know. It was something about smoking. Something about, like, old cigarettes. I remember I had a question about it. So, well, I can't really remember right now, but that's one thing that came up to my mind. Like, certain things that you think that might cause one thing might actually not cause that. It could be, like, the reason why something else happened. Let's say For instance, people who eat breakfast tend to have better grades than people who don't eat breakfast. Like, that might not be the case. It could also be, like, people who study more get better grades than people who don't study. You see, that's, they're both figure out which one's a better grade, but at the end of it, they have two different points of views you can look at, but I don't really see why breakfast will make you feel better. I mean, what make you have better grades if you don't study? So they go hand in hand, in my opinion. Well, this is a wrap up of today's audio. I hope you enjoy. Thank you.